faith is a key thing we want to look at, and we've spent last couple of weeks, if you want to get a hold of them, we have the bulletins with the notes and the teaching, so you can get a hold of them for the last couple of weeks. The thing we want to look at today is that faith is personal. And just in preparing this teaching, I just found myself smiling so much because I was thinking back on so many of 12 years ago when I got a job at a school. And it was fantastic, I got this job. But the problem was I couldn't get to the school. The school had just started, and at that point there weren't the amount of bus routes and things that were going on to get there. We started a little bit earlier in the morning, and so I didn't have a car. I did have a car, but I'd given it away about 4 months before, and to this school. And during that time, I really felt God say to me, "I'll provide." So it's like, okay. And you know, you're supposed to be, what's the word? You're supposed to be clever and work these things out, and you're supposed to go, okay, I'm going to get the bus from here to here and from there to there. And that's what we do. But this was a time where God said he would provide. And I knew he said that. So what happened was a friend said to me, her parents were going away and she was going to be using their car. Did I want to borrow her car? So I thought, thank God, in about a month's time, I've got a car. And I was going to have it for a fortnight. And so I had this car, and then during that time, someone else said, look, this is happening, and I'm going to have a car available if you want to borrow it. And so you can borrow it. And so this calendar began to organize. And it was really good because it's like in a month's time, this car was booked. And then in a fortnight, this car was booked. But I began to notice that the time got shorter and shorter. And then it got down to, you know, next week, you can borrow this car. And it got shorter and shorter and shorter. Until it got to the night before. And I'd be praying. And I'd say, Lord, I've got to get to school tomorrow. I don't think I ever told you this story. Tracy is my boss and so at the school. And so I'd be praying the night before. And someone would ring. And they'd say, do you need a car? And I'd say, yes, praise the Lord. And so they would organize. And I'd meet me in the morning and I'd have a car. So that was the point where it was the night before. And no one called, and I'm praying, and I went to sleep, and I woke up in the morning, and I'm just saying, Lord, you said you would provide and to trust you. And it was one of those things I really knew God had said to do. So, Lord, I'm doing this. And about, anyway, it was quite early in the morning, just after 7, the phone rang, and it was Monica, actually, and this is someone we know. And she said, look, I was just praying and I really felt God say I need to call you and ask, do you need a car? And I was like, yes, I really need a car. And so she came, dropped the car off and I got to work. But from that point, I really remember looking and just driving along saying, God, I trust you. You know, you said you'd provide for me and got all the way down to this last minute thing and you came through. And so God built my faith. And it was personal. Now, if God had started with the phone call at just after 7 in the morning, I don't know if I would have had that level of faith to believe God. But God's like that with us. He'd give us a bit and then stretch us a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. And he wants us to develop that dependence on him. And one of the things I love about faith in its basic definition is its trust. And we look at people of faith. We read about these stories in the Bible. Peter walked on water. And we can think for ourselves, you know, that's Peter, but I'm not Peter, you know. And so we can think these different things about faith and what faith is, but faith is trusting God. And it's having faith and trust in the character of God. And I think of it like, when you think of it being personal, if you look at these chairs, I didn't see everyone come in, but when you come in to church or anywhere and you take a place like this, you probably just come and you just sit and that's it. I don't think anyone came in here and went, you know, let me just check this chair out. Let me just see it looks strong enough. We didn't do that. We just come and we sit down. And sometimes we sit down, you know, quite heavily. We trust the chair. We have faith in it. And so faith is not some mysterious out there thing that we can't grab a hold of. We exercise faith every day. You put your foot on the brake and you trust the car will stop. You know, there are all these things that we put our trust in. Everything in this world is subject to failure. There's only one thing that isn't, and it's God. That's why God says to have faith in him. So let's look at our first verse. This is a passage I was meditating on when I was sick in the last couple of weeks, from Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34. Does someone want to read? I've actually got all the scriptures in the bulletin this week. Does someone want to read that out? Thank you very much. Daughter, your faith has made you well. And it's a very important thing to see there. Jesus himself, he wasn't saying, I'm going to have a prayer line now, whoever's sick, come and I'll lay hands on you. But this woman within her own heart said, if I can just touch, I'll be healed, I'll be made whole. And knowing the culture of the day, if you had that sort of, you know, any sort of issue of a flow of blood, well, you weren't supposed to be around other people. In fact, people would have looked and said, this is unclean. And so there were all sorts of issues there where this woman would have been outcast. This woman would have been treated a certain way if people were aware of her condition. And in that sort of situation, like we can know today when people go through things, we have a choice. We have a choice of getting bitter. We have a choice of kind of pushing towards something that is positive and faithful, a good outcome. And I love this story, and I was meditating on this in the last couple of weeks when I myself was sick, and I began to think about this thing. Imagine if this time was 2,000 years ago. So imagine if Jesus was here in the midst of us. And I began to think, what if Jesus himself was going to come and lay hands on me and pray? And just imagine that for yourself. What if right now something was going on in your life and you called out to God and Jesus himself came in the flesh and came up and put his hand on you and prayed? What do you think would happen? If he sat down and talked to you, what do you think he'd say? And as I began to think about this thing over the last couple of weeks, I kind of found my faith stirring up, because I thought, if Jesus prayed for me, I would expect something wonderful to happen. I would expect something powerful to happen. If he spoke into my life about a situation going on, I would expect there to be something powerful in what he'd say. You know, and my faith began to rise. This woman, I mean, she pushed through the crowd, and there's lots of people bumping into Jesus, but healing power didn't flow out of Jesus to all those people who touched him. It wasn't something magical or anything like that. But this woman said, if I can just touch, some translations say, the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And she did, and she was healed. It's really good to see this personal aspect of our faith. The next passage, where we see Jesus went to his home country. In Matthew 13, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? And where did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And look at this verse 58. Now, remember, this is Jesus. This is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is Savior of the world. This is, you know, Jesus speaks a word. Amazing, wonderful things happen. And we look here at verse 58. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And it's really important to see in the Bible that God really levels it back to us individually. It's like we're saying, it's not like God created this magical chair and whoever sits in it is healed. But God created this thing within each of us to have faith. And if we approach God and say, God, I trust you because of who you are, because what you say you will do, we will see results. These people, they were offended at Jesus. And so Jesus didn't do any great works there. I think one of the other Gospels says he didn't do anything great except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. But you know, Jesus is able to raise people from the dead. He can do mighty works. In Acts chapter 8, there's a man there, Simon the sorcerer. And when he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And when people in the early church laid hands on people and prayed for them, there was some sort of manifestation. Something happened. And so Simon, being a sorcerer, who knows what sort of tricks he had? Who knows what sort of powders he might have had that he lit up that made different things happen, or tricks that he did? But he saw something tangible happen when people were prayed for. So much so that he said, "Let me buy this. How do I get this?" But it's not that sort of thing with God. That's not how God works it. It's about faith. It's about people trusting and coming to God, believing he'll do these things. Romans 12:3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Or some translations say, the measure of faith. God has given faith to each of us. And we give an example like the chair, or applying brakes in our car. But God has put this ability in us to trust. The question is, what do you trust? Do you trust yourself? Do you trust money? Do you trust your position? Do you trust your job? What do you trust? You know, everything in this life is temporary and subject to change. Some people are fantastically beautiful and make millions of dollars as supermodels. Will they look that way forever? Will they still make those millions of dollars based on that in years to come? No. Some people may be these tremendous athletes and may win gold medals. Will they be doing that in 30 years' time? Everything changes. Our body changes. Our looks change. So what do we put our trust in? And if we put our trust in anything in this world, well, it's temporary. It's subject to change. It's like it's a foundational cause of insecurity in people. I remember God said that to me one time. That's a lot of the reason people are insecure, because they trust in things that in their very nature are subject to change. Only God is not subject to change. He'll do what he says. He's trustworthy. Mark chapter 10, would someone like to read that? What do you want? So we see here in the issue of faith that God would say to us, what do you want? And if you don't know what you want, what do you think you'll get from God? And the Bible actually says that. So it's an amazing, wonderful thing. And as I was reflecting on this, and I started to think of all these things that God had done in my life. Like I remembered this car that I had. Before I gave this car away, when I was telling the story earlier, and I didn't have a car when I started working at the school, this was a yellow van. My mum would remember this. It's one of these vans. It's a Mazda van, and it was old, and it's, you know, you sit at the front, and the engine's kind of behind you, so, you know, it drops down at the front. You're right at the front there. And I was in Bible college at the time when I had this, and I think, you know, at the time I was earning $100-something a week. You know, I don't know how I survived, what God provided, but, you know, very, very little income. And that meant if something went wrong, there wasn't this surplus of cash to take care of things. And what happened, it got to winter, and the windscreen wiper motors stopped working. Do you remember this car? Okay, so I'd drive in the rain, and no windscreen wiper motors. And you'd probably laugh if you saw me riding along, because what I used to do, you'd turn the windscreen wiper motor on, they wouldn't move, but I'd wind the window down, and I'd have my arm out like this. And it would be clearing it. And And I did that for I don't know how long. The police never pulled me over. I'm sure if they saw me, they would have. But, you know, I couldn't afford to get it fixed. And I went to a wrecker. I thought that should be cheaper, and he told me how much it would cost. And I couldn't afford the money it cost to get that motor. And when I became a Christian, which was about 20 years ago, I didn't know much else to do other than I read this stuff in the Bible, and I just said, okay, let's do what it says. And it amazed me that all these things that I read about, that I then began to pray, began to happen. And many people were surprised when I became a Christian, because they knew me to be more into mathematics and science, and just I'm not into that sort of stuff. But because when I first came to church, something happened I couldn't really deny. And then I began to read the Bible, and I began to say, okay, I'll just take God at his word. I'll do what it says. Things began to happen. And, you know, sometimes if something happens, like you read something in the Bible, and so you say, okay, God, well, I'll do that. I'll pray. And then the result comes about. Now, when that happens, you can say to yourself, maybe it was coincidence. And I think I did that to start with. But then more and more things I prayed about began to happen, and I mean specific things. And so, you know, as it moved into beyond 10 things and beyond a dozen and all that, it started moving from coincidence to maybe this is really possible. And as that kept going on, you know, as the months and the years went, and I got into the 50s and 60s, and these were things I took, you know, very analytical observation of. It stopped being something like this is coincidence or possibility. It started to change into the next thing, which was this is probable. You know, it's kind of, you see enough of these things, you say, look, it's a probable thing. If I do this and I pray, this will happen. But, you know, over the years, I remember it got to 500 odd things. And a lot of these things were outside of my control. And when it got to a point like that, I said, okay, this is kind of beyond all that for me. This is a certainty, because I've seen God faithful over and over again. And so during that time, I can think of times I was healed and God answered prayer, did all these different things. And so I remember having this car, and the windscreen wipers aren't working. I didn't have money. I didn't have mechanical skill, and I probably, even if I did, I couldn't have fixed it. And I remember one day it's raining, and I thought it might have been quite heavy or something like that, but it made me stand at the front of the car, and I looked at it, and I just kind of said to God, I need this fixed. And, you know, in the Bible it says you lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Well, that was all that came to me, and I thought, well, my car's sick, kind of, you know. And I laid hands on the car, and I said, God, fix my car. And kind of slow screeching sound, it went, and the windscreen wiper motors went, and they started working. And from that day on, they worked. And I praised God, I rejoiced, I was wonderful. You know, that built my faith. And I had to step out and give that a go. And many of us could tell stories where we had to step out and give it a go. Now, I can tell you can look at my hands, there's nothing special here, right? I can't do anything like that. But God can do it. And God does miracles, and God does things like that. And there was another time I worked in a computer company while I was also at Bible college, and the boss brought in this computer monitor, and it had gone black and white, wasn't doing color. And he said to me, fix this if you can. And I said, I can't do that sort of repairs, because you have to pull it apart and find the thing. But if you get a fault like that, you can often wiggle the cable, kind of you go north, south, east, west, and sometimes there's a broken cable. So I tried that, it didn't work. You have a look, the pins are all there. So I don't know, so I said, well, I can't fix this. So I said, well, lay hands on it and I'll pray for it. So I put my hands on, I said, Lord, you know, you mend bones. Bones are made of calcium and minerals and all these things. This is a monitor, it's made of, you know, all that sort of stuff. So Lord, just, you know, heal this monitor. And it, wink, and the color came back. And the boss had put it there, said to me this thing, kind of got up, he walked out, and within 2 minutes he'd come back in to tell me something else. And he walked in, he went, oh, you fixed it. What'd you do? Now, he was against Christianity, if you know what I mean. He, you know, and he was a strong man, spoke a lot, spoke loudly, pretty rough and gruff. And so I kind of sheepishly said to him, I said, well, I just prayed for it. And he said, don't be stupid. What did you do? And I said, I did. I just prayed. And he said, look. And he started to get angry with me. And I said, look, you've just walked out and come back in. I haven't had time to untake the screws out. And he huffed and he got angry. And he walked out. But, you know, God did it. And the time that, you know, and often God does those things as a witness to people to kind of let them know he's around. And But, you know, as I began to think back on faith, I just smiled so much because there are so many things that God has done in my life. And many people here, I mean, if we said, stand up and tell stories, we would be here probably till night time, at least, about the great things God's done in our lives. Here in Matthew 17, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed... how big is a mustard seed? It's tiny, right? Mustard seed is tiny. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I don't know what your potential is or what your capacity is, but I think it's actually, you know, in some ways it's limited by us, but it's not limited by God. Because what can God do in your life? God can take care of so many situations. God can do great and mighty things. And God says, have faith in him, trust him, believe in him. Don't doubt. And some people do. Some people will say, no, I just don't believe it can happen. And it doesn't happen in their life. But if you trust God, and that's really what I want to say, a big part of what I want to say today. Faith is about trusting God. Faith is not about trusting yourself. Faith is not about saying, I know so much of the Bible. And faith is not about saying, I can stand up and speak or stand up and pray or do all these things. Faith is about saying, God is amazing. And God will do what he said. And God, I need you. Over the page, as we look at faith in operation, we see faith has a voice. In Mark 11, verse 22 to 23, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And that's very important. You don't have faith in yourself. You don't even have faith in the words you speak. Faith is about faith in God. Have trust in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Notice how many times Jesus refers to speaking in this. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And I love the idea or the analogy of going through McDonald's when I think of this verse. It just comes up. You know they have the two windows? So you come to the first window, you place your order. Well, they've changed it now. I think there's three. So you come to the first window to make payment. Now you hand your money over. What do you get back? You don't get food. But we never sit there and say, am I really going to get this hamburger? You know, we don't. We trust McDonald's. If we trust McDonald's that at the next window we're going to get our fries, can we trust God who created us and loves us? I think so. So we trust God. And we notice just in there how much we actually speak it out. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. It's the same sort of thing with when we get saved. We didn't hand over $100 to God and say, thank you, God, for saving me. We spoke it out. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and speak it out or confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. That's what it takes. So that's a very, very important thing. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. And sometimes you might be able to remember a time in your life and you've thought, well, I don't just want to speak this out because there's that doubt inside you. You're not quite sure. And sometimes you come to a point and you say, this is what I think is going to happen. You know, and kind of you've almost got to get over, I don't know what it is, like butterflies or something inside yourself, but you speak it out and it makes a difference when you speak it out. And it's just a very important principle in the Bible that faith has a voice. Speak these things out. And it's really no different to in the beginning in Genesis when God created the earth. Everything God did, he spoke. And that's kind of, that we're made in the image of God. God has given us this creative ability. And it doesn't exist in anything else in his creation. The rocks don't speak. I mean, some birds mimic, right? But they don't have the sort of capacity we have. Monkeys don't have the ability to do it, but God has made us in his image and he's given us this ability to do the same thing. Faith has an action, James chapter 2. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. I'll show you what I believe by what I do. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not know, a foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So faith has an action. And I love this story I heard. I was only remembering it the other day. I heard it about 20 years ago. And it was of this man. He was a tightrope walker. And I can't remember what he was suspended over, but it was some well-known monument. Niagara Falls? James? London. Okay. So he had he would tightrope walk over these things, and he had a wheelbarrow. And he could push this wheelbarrow over it, and he could put all these things in it. And there was a crowd watching him. And he said to the crowd, do you believe I could put someone in here and safely walk over the tightrope to the other end? And they all believed. They said, yes, that's what the crowd said. And he said, who wants to do it? And no one wanted to do it, you know. So there is actually a difference then between what you believe and maybe what you really believe and what you do. But faith is obedience. This is, I think, just such a powerful thing. In Hebrews chapter 3, now with whom was he, who was God angry 40 years? This is going back to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they wandered around the desert. Was it not those who sinned whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So God refers to sinning here, disobedience and unbelief. He links them in. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to them as to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Very, very important thing. God's word comes out and God says, are you mixing it with faith? If you're not mixing it with faith, not going to do you any good. So how do you mix God's word with faith? Is it this strange thing? And it says here what we do. For we who have believed, verse 3, do enter that rest as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and to those whom it was first preached, did not enter in because of what? Disobedience. How do you mix faith with the word of God you hear? You obey it. You follow it. And we have to really resist, all Christians everywhere in every culture have pressures come against them to kind of partly follow God and partly follow what's going on popularly around them. But God says don't do that. God says listen to what I'm saying and mix it with faith. And there's things we're comfortable to do that with. Some people aren't actually, but like if someone hurts us, we forgive them. You know, we do all these types of things. Oh yes, we follow. But there can often come an area in our life where someone will present something to us and we can say, I don't want to obey that because if I do, I'm going to offend this person. Or if I obey this and say yes to this, then this person's going to get upset or something's going to happen here. And that's a challenge that has always been upon the church. And it's upon every culture in different ways. So for you personally, God will address you and your faith personally. And it'll come back to this thing. Did you hear what he said? Did you follow it? And God says to build faith, it's not a hard thing. You just follow what he says. And lastly, faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. We've looked at this a couple of times. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's such an amazing verse because there are some religions, as I've studied and taught, and the gods, if you like, in those religions are vengeful. They say, if you're going to follow me, bring your... I don't want to say the things they do, but it involves killing family members and in very horrible ways. And some of these religions are talked about in the Bible. That's not the God we serve. God we serve said, believe that he is and that he's going to reward you. That's how God wants us to come to him. Jesus referred to different people having great faith, no faith, little faith. People have different types of faith in the eyes of Jesus. Faith is something in each of us that can grow or die. And if we operate in faith, it will increase like a muscle. And, you know, as I was meditating on this, and this is a great thing, I recommend you do this, write down some of the things God's done in your life. One of the departments at school wanted to create a whole list of testimonies, things that God had done in people's life. And I wrote out about 50 things, and I was so pumped up. I was so encouraged, remembering all these great things God did. And, you know, today at nighttime, we'll turn on TV and we'll watch whatever this TV series is. But in many, many years gone by, well, they didn't have TV, they didn't have radio, they didn't even have books they'd sit around and read. So what would they do? They'd sit around campfires at night and they'd say, tell us again the story of how God parted the sea. Tell us again the story of how God made this food appear in the wilderness. Tell us again the story of how everyone was thirsty and suddenly springs came up in the desert. And so people would rehearse and remember the great things God did, and it built them up. So it's a good thing for us to do that as well. And John chapter 15, our last verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will also be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have found it a very sad thing over the years, traveling around to different churches and spending time with people who have been Christians, some of them for a very long time, who are very discouraged. And these are Christians who know the Bible. They come into situations and they say, well, this is going on, but I know God's going to do this, this, and this. And they pray, and it doesn't happen. And I've seen mature, old Christians get discouraged. And this verse here, I'm not sure what you see in it, but when I read this verse, I see two things in it. Jesus said two things. If you abide in me, think of your car. You've got a battery in your car. How well is that car going to start if you only have one battery terminal connected? If you only have one terminal connected on the battery, nothing's going to happen. Jesus said something similar. He said there's two things to do. Abide in him and have his word abide in us. And it's two things we need to do, just like the car. And so over the years I've talked to people and I say, what does this mean to you? And they say, well, first off, we need to learn the word. And we are so good as a culture at doing that. We can get DVDs, we can get internet notes, we can get so much stuff to learn. But that's only one terminal on the battery. The other thing Jesus said is to abide in him. And people have said to me, well, that means be a Christian. That's actually not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say be a Christian. He didn't say go to church. He didn't say hang around church people. He said this thing, and it's the last verse. You can see it in your bulletin. He said, if you obey me, you will abide. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a hard thing at times to follow him and to obey, but it connects both those things. And so I really think for us to have faith, for us to grow in faith, for us to continue in faith, it's something we need to follow. It's something we need to grab a hold of. And do the hard thing and kind of choose to walk with what God's got for you, because it's going to work out great in your life. Okay, any questions or thoughts or any comments? Anything you want to add to that before we go on? Any questions or anything you want to clarify? Have you got something you want to clarify? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, and may it not be that we are people who walk around thinking we are great or mighty, better than other people, but may we be humble who say it is because of what God has done in our lives. And Father, in all these stories I've talked about, and as we've brought to mind things you've done in our lives, we just remember, Lord, it's because of you and your greatness that we're even alive, that we can tell these stories of your faithfulness, of your deliverance, of how you've answered prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us. Father, that you have plans for us. And you say, Lord, that every day of our life, I didn't do what you wanted me to do. There's a way that I lived once in my life. But you have a plan for us, and it's to bless us. It's to prosper us. It's to give us a future and a hope. Lord, it's to help us. Lord, it's to make us a light. It's to make us salt on this earth. It's to be a blessing to this world. Father, I pray for myself and for everyone here, that through you and through your word, through what you're doing in us, that we will be that light to the world. Father, that your glory will shine through us. Lord, that your love will flow through us. Lord, that your truth will flow through us. Lord, that we will bring help that brings change to people's lives, to us, to our family, to our friends, to those we work with. Lord, we can't do these things in our own strength. But Lord, as you work through us, and Lord, as we follow you, we know that you will do great things. So Lord, we pray what we've heard will bear much fruit in our lives, to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.